Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. You guys might not know this, but every once in a while, Kirk and I take trips to conferences, and we've actually met probably some of you at these conferences. And when you have a booth or when you have a table or you're presenting, one of the super cool things is when all of the advisors are in general sessions, a lot of us people who provide services to you guys have a chance to sit down and talk. And when we were at the SEI Top Producer Conference a couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity to meet this gentleman. His name's Don Whalen. He's a CFP co-founder of Precise FP. And as he was taking us through his program here, this offering that he has for financial advisors, we thought it was really remarkable. And so, of course, our initial feeling is, oh, my gosh, we got to get this guy on a podcast. We were going to try to do it live. But every single solitary time there was a break in the action, the house, the service staff was always making all sorts of noise. So we decided, you know, it'd be better. Let's circle back. After Don gets settled, we get settled from the conference and bring him on the podcast. So he is the guest today. Again, he is a CFP and he's the co-founder of Precise FP. Don, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So these are the standard 15 questions that we ask almost everybody who comes on. It's a great opportunity for our listeners not to just get to know what Precise FP is, but it also gets them an opportunity to get to know who you are. So first question, what experience do you have in working with advisors? Now, were you an advisor at one point?
I was and I am.
And you are?
I'm a CFP. I certainly am. Yes, I have a small practice to this day. I have obviously responsibilities with Precise FP that don't allow me to grow that, but I still am a practicing CFP, and I have been since 2003.
Where did Precise FP come from? I mean, was this a need that you saw as an advisor, or was how did this come about?
Right. So prior to being a CFP, I was actually in the IT business.
Okay.
And I worked with a large company called SAP, and I did implementations around the country. And I did a lot of customer-facing documents and forms, and so now that was kind of, you know, I was very familiar with that and the importance of putting your best foot forward with regards to, making these documents presentable and palatable to the end user. So when I got into the advisory business, I quickly realized that everybody was really way behind the times in terms of making that experience a good one for clients. They were using questionnaires that they had created in Word or a similar application. Maybe they were turning it into a PDF if they were sophisticated enough to do that. But ultimately, it ended up being paper-based because the client would print it out, handwrite their information, get it back to the advisor somehow, either mail, fax. What's fax, right? We don't use faxes anymore, but that's some people still use fax.
That's true.
And then, you know, we advisors thought we were really sophisticated because we all had I remember the discussions around Fujitsu scanners. Everybody was talking about a Fujitsu scanner because you needed that to scan these paper documents that came back. And then, of course, we all had shredders because we had to shred that document
right
after that. And then, of course, we had calluses on the end of our fingers because we had to type all that data. Once we deciphered the chicken scratchings, we had to type all that data into our other systems. So it became evident to me early on that it just had to be a better way. And so in 2007, more or less 4 years after I hung out my shingle as a CFP, that's when we came out with Precise FP. Started working on it about 2006, came out with it 2007 version 1, and we're on version 4, version 5 coming out this summer.
So tell our listeners what Precise FP is.
So it's a lot of things. It's actually evolved into a good number of things, but I would say the at the base, we're a data gathering and client engagement tool. So we got our start with basically collecting data in a much more efficient and really a palatable way for the client at the end of the day way, and then funneling that data to the systems that the advisors use. So CRM, financial planning application. So really getting them out of the data entry business, you know, that actually represents about 40% of the cost of creating a financial plan is in data gathering and data entry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we got our start. We've evolved beyond that. We do lead gen, do continuous engagement, where we, you know, allow the advisor to create content and in a very, very efficient way, send it out to, you know, one client or 1,000 clients and get feedback and get them engaged on topics that matter to them and topics that really, you know, the advisor has kind of built their practice around. Everybody's different. Every advisor is different. And so we don't believe in putting an advisor in a box. We want them to be able to create content, and then we're the distribution channel for that. And so it's hard to describe in words what exactly it is we do, but I would say that, you know, basically data gathering, client engagement, and then the continuous engagement, and then of course just efficiencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting the advisor out of the pushing of paper, entering of data. And then from a compliance perspective, we help out a lot too, just because we have that audit trail.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and from a CYA perspective as well. So, there you go.
When you're talking about distribution, what channels are you able to distribute this content that is either created by Precise FP or by the advisor?
Sure. So we don't view ourselves as being in the content business. We mm-hmm. do have some templates that mm-hmm. advisors do use. Some are used as is. Many are modified, and others are used really as a source of inspiration to get, you know, get some ideas and around. So, you know, the advisor knows his or her practice best. So mm-hmm. they know what that content should look like. And they may actually source it out to other providers, those providers that are in the business of creating content. And we're really a great, again, distribution channel to get that out there. So I just want to make that point. We're not,
sure.
We don't see ourselves as being in the content business. Distribution channels, we see advisors using our engagement pieces, or the engagement pieces that they create on their website. So it was, you know, we actually give them a code that they just basically paste on their website.
Mm-hmm.
They have a floating bar inviting, mm-hmm. you know, a potential lead to download a guide, right? So maybe 12 pitfalls to avoid in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. You know, the consumer visits the site. They're not, you know, most consumers aren't looking for advisors. They're looking for solutions to their problems. So when advisors offer up freemiums like the one I just described and make it really easy for the consumer to engage, well, that's how you get leads. And so, yeah, we're seeing them being used on the website for lead gen. Also, social media lends itself very well to that, where they can put links, you know, on their Facebook page.
Okay.
And again, they don't necessarily appear salesy. It actually looks like you're providing a service,
right?
Like a community service for that matter. So, yeah, so social media is another means of getting that out there. Email, obviously blasting out mm-hmm. to friends and family and things that would get shared. Obviously, I'm talking about lead gen here, but the other areas could be used the same way. If we have a client that wants to engage with us to update their financial plan,
mm-hmm.
we could email them a link. We could put a link on our website and let them engage that way as well.
The user interface, for those of you who have not already gone to the Precise FP website and taking a look at what Don has to offer, it's really user friendly. And this new, you said it was version 5 is coming out soon?
Version 5, that's right.
While we were at the conference, Don took Kirk and I through the program. And what's really awesome is it's a great companion product to what we offer at Top Advisor Marketing, which is one of the reasons why we just thought it was so much fun to talk about this, because, you know, we help create the content using podcasting as our foundation, and it just plugs right in. It just plugs right into Don's system at Precise FP. And also this lead gen opportunity, what we've talked about on podcasts before, is the ripple effect of posts that are personal and how that increases engagement for the freemiums, like Don was talking about. The rest of the questions here, Don, are so that people can get to know you, because as you know, people are going to want to do business with people they like and have things in common with. when you look at where you want Precise FP to be in 5 years, what does Precise FP look like? What are your goals?
Yeah. You know, I'm an independent advisor myself, and I've always believed in the independent model, and I've believed in supporting the independent advisor. I've been doing this since 2007. You know, it hasn't, we haven't always had things as good as we have it now, and things are, you know, we've got a good user base now, but there have been certainly challenges along the way, and we've worked through them, and I think we've stuck by the advisor, you know, because we realize that they've come to rely on us and use us as a means of kind of leveling the playing field for them. And, you know, we've got this robo-advisor phenomenon that's kind of creeping in, and you know, how do you compete with that? You need to offer a similar experience. We've got millennials that they don't do paper, and they don't do generic either. They don't want to be sent a gigantic questionnaire, the same one, by the way, that an advisor would be using with a retired couple. You know, they would use that with a recent college graduate. It makes no sense. It's not the experience that millennials want, and I think increasingly, pretty much nobody wants that experience. They want something that's really specific, that really speaks to their needs. And so we allow them to do that. You know, there's a lot of financial planning applications that offer data gathering and data intake. And you know, I believe that advisors gravitate towards us because we allow them to make the experience more custom. And, you know, that's really what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's the experience that counts. And of course, we're helping them be efficient as well. We do things where we gather data. We actually show the advisor what's changed since the last time the client provided data. So how do you get that from a form, right? You've got to go through field by field and try to figure out what exactly changed. But if we bring it to the attention of the advisor that they bought a lake house and that's what's changed. And so we highlight those things for them. So at the end of the day, just really making things efficient. This is all we do, Matt. We do data gathering and client engagement. You know, I'm a big believer in doing one thing and doing it well. Jack of all trades, master of none. I think, I believe that. So, you know, we're really focused on doing this one piece of the puzzle for the advisor.
Okay. And,
so 5 years from now, I just see us really doing what we're doing and just continuing to do it better. The whole system is built around the way advisors work with clients. It's, you know, it's not made for the medical industry or whatever industry. It is made specifically for the financial services industry. So,
and your product screams that too. When you're there, it's the right language, the right interface, the right questions, the right forms, and you know, the streamlining process is fantastic. What is your go-to resource? So when you're meeting with somebody new, or you have a client, a prospect who's looking at Precise FP, do you have like a go-to thing? Like most people have like a go-to TED talk, or they have a go-to book that they love. What is the one thing that you love to hand out to clients, families, or friends that you think is one of the greatest helpers that you can?
So we're talking about an advisor as being the client, or are we talking about a...
I'm kind of opening that up. So again, this could be just a business person that you know, and as a successful business person that you are, you know, you're like, have you ever read this, or did you ever listen to this, that sort of stuff?
Huh. Well, I hadn't really thought of that. You know, I do follow a good number of people that I consider expert in this field. I know Michael Kitz, as I follow his blog religiously. I think he's got some great ideas. Bill Winterberg, he understands fintech specifically for our space. I don't know that there's one resource that I would say kind of does it all for me, or that I necessarily pass along. But, you know, I just think, just kind of understanding the landscape, and those people help with that. They kind of keep us abreast of changes that are coming along. And so
what is the biggest lesson you wish advisors would learn?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one too. The biggest lesson. Well, I think do your homework early on with tech for sure. You know, you can always make changes, and we actually find ourselves in a situation where we facilitate that change because we do integrate with other applications. We do have the client's data at the end of the day. This is what we do. We gather, process, and pass along data And so you can certainly go from one system to the next, but it's always better to really look at what you're trying to accomplish within your practice. Do you want to be a solo advisor, or do you have aspirations to grow beyond that? You know, these are the things I think you really need to stop and think about. And then that's going to determine to a large extent, I believe, what technology you want to use. Of course, we see ourselves in that mix as well, just to be efficient. And again, that going back to the experience thing, but I would say that I think that I think advisors tend to spend more time, just like anybody, really. You look at consumers, they'll spend more time, you know, researching a big screen TV or a car that they wanted to buy, and no time on their retirement savings, right? And thinking about where they should be invested, how much they should be invested. So I think, you know, spending that time, investing that time just makes a lot of sense. And try to find an independent firm, just like the advisor's independent. I think it's preferable to find a firm that's a software firm that's also independent and that thinks like they do, like the advisor does.
We're going to totally switch gears here. Who's your hero? Who do you look up to in life?
Oh, boy. Who is my hero? You know, I don't know. I think moms in general, my mom in particular, but, you know, just I think moms have a really tough job today with raising kids. And I was talking about this the other day. It used to be when I was a kid, they just kind of push me outside and go tell me to go play. And now it's got to do these play dates. And I think everybody's just paranoid about where their kids are and what they're doing. And it's become difficult. So I praise moms for having the patience and, you know, the steadfastness to keep their kids out of trouble. And I guess try to be a little cool as well, you know, not to get too overwhelmed and caught up in the craziness that we've gotten into now, where we just can't relax as parents. So I think moms. I just think about moms and all the sacrifices they make.
If you had $1 billion, what would you do differently?
I would probably think more in terms of how I can help people. But I've got a good life, Matt. I can't say that I would make a totally radical change. The life that I have is great. I get to talk to advisors every day and hear their excitement. Those that are just starting out, just to listen to how excited they are to get out there and help people. And so it's fun. I get to help my own clients, which is rewarding as well. I've had some clients for a long time since I started in 2003, after making my career change from IT. So I don't, I would say that I would look at how I could help people, and not sure where I would start. But if I had $1 billion, I would definitely be spending some time thinking about that.
Good answer. If you could choose one superpower, what would it be?
I'm not too up on my superpowers, but if I think of Superman and some of the characters that that held some of these superpowers, I guess it would be the superpower to end world hunger, if that even exists.
Yeah, sure. It's sure a superpower, it man. It can do you can do anything you want.
I can do whatever I want.
That's right.
Yeah. There you go.
How about favorite musical artist and why?
Favorite musical artist and why? Okay, well, I am a longtime Elton John fan.
Nice.
I have been known to do karaoke, and I'm told that I sound just like him.
Wow. So, okay. What? Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
I wish I could play the piano like him.
Yeah. I'm gonna find you at a conference one of these days, and we're gonna go karaoke. That would be awesome. when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, well, there was a time when I wanted to be a professional hockey player. So I grew up in Canada. I still play hockey, but I've realized that boat has sailed. That ship has sailed. You know, I thought I would be a lawyer at one point. Why? Because I think decent communicator, and I saw it interesting. I found it very intriguing to be able to argue your case and help people. Obviously, I was actually thinking of criminal law at one point, but that quickly went away when I got into computers at an early age. And that, so IT, I quickly gravitated towards IT and had a knack for it. So, and I became a programmer, actually. I was a programmer, independent contractor working on SAP, not for SAP, but on SAP at different client sites. So that, and that's come full circle. I've IT, CFP, and now I'm back into IT.
Wow.
Still wearing my CFP hat, of course.
This might be a tough question, and I've had some resistance to asking this question, but I think it's very, very important when you're interviewing somebody as successful as you've been, wearing the different hats and really having all of that come together. What is your biggest failure, and what did you learn from it?
Well, I guess my biggest failure, and I don't, you know, I'm fortunate enough not to have made any really big ones, at least not in my view. Nothing that's, you know, devastated me financially or my family. But early on, I got out of college. I went to work for a company that they basically had barcode scanners, and they, you know, they would go company to company and sell the hardware and the software that went with the solution. So it was, you know, I did that for a few months, and I realized I don't like working for somebody else. I guess it was maybe the job as well, but from that point on, I never worked for anybody.
Oh,
I never an employee. Let's put it that way. I've always been an entrepreneur. Those were like the first 3 months of my life that I wasn't. And so right after that, I went and started a business of kiosks that you find at, today you find them more in the airport. You know, when you check in, you've got a little kiosk that you touch screen. Well, this was back in 1993, 94. So I went and bought a bunch of Macs, a bunch of touchscreen monitors. And this stuff was really hard to find. I mean, I had to, you know, call up the Mac store and find different resources that aren't available. They weren't, you know, today. They weren't available as they are today. And so I built these kiosks, and I had them in shopping centers around the Toronto area, which is where I'm from, and got into debt. Mainly my parents helped finance that. And anyway, I found it was just before its time. People really didn't understand what they were supposed to do, and basically it was to generate business for the local businesses. They could print off coupons and different things, but it just didn't take. And but it was a learning experience, and from there I went into the SAP world. But that was probably my biggest failure, if you want to call it that. But I don't view things like that as failures. I view them as stepping stones to other successes in life. So, but there you go. That would be, it was called Panda Kiosks. And I ran it unprofitably for about 2 years. I learned a lot.
See, that is one of the reasons we asked that question. I use the word failure for a good reason, because it's very important for our listeners to understand that using that word doesn't always necessarily need to have that negative connotation, because as you just said, Don, it was a great learning experience, right? You learned a lot about yourself. You learned, and you're probably not making those same mistakes again. So that's why it's not a failure. And I love that. That was a perfect, perfect answer. Now, you've got the attention of thousands of financial advisors. What is the best way for people to find you and contact you?
Yeah. So precisefp.com, FP as in financial planning. .com. You can chat with us Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern, and pretty much an instantaneous response. And we'd love to have you sign up for a trial, as we offer a free 7-day trial. If you mention this podcast, we'll extend that to 30 days.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you again for having me.
Yeah.
But that's really the easiest way to reach out to us. And, you know, we have a knowledge base. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the website, you'll see a knowledge base where you can search through articles and find out how you can incorporate e-signatures and how you can learn about a risk tolerance questionnaire that's scientifically validated, and all the different things that we offer. IPS as well is another one. So, you know, we've got videos as well, and sign up for a webinar. Top of the page is a webinars link. We have a webinar almost every day with partners and just us at times as well. But love to have you visit.
Fantastic. So precisefp.com, make sure that you all go there. And if you do mention the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, when you do chat with them, Don and his team will extend the free 7-day trial to a 30-day trial. And really, once you start knocking around in this program, you're going to see how user-friendly it is. I had a huge smile on my face when Don was walking me through it, just because the ease of use, and that's where his IT obviously comes in. But, you know, it's so nice to see how fluid the whole program works. So, Don, you've done a great job with Precise FP, and thank you very much for taking time with us today.
Well, thank you. And I do have to give credit to our development team. You know, I am an IT guy, but less and less so these days. I don't actually do any of the coding, the development work. So, want to make sure that's credit is given where it's due, and that's to our development team. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. If you know of another financial advisor who could use what Don and his team have created at Precise FP, make sure that you just click that share button below and share the podcast with any other advisors that you're in a study group, your home office. Once you knock around on Precise FP, you're going to know why, one, we brought him on, and two, why you need to share this with all of your advisor friends. So for Don and everybody at Precise FP, this is Matt Halloran, and for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time we come out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And this is Matt Halloran. I'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.